American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the internet for Monday, January 28th, 2008. That was wrong. It's actually
wrong.
Monday, January 12th, 2008. But you're listening to Newsreel, a log global sit rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. I can't even talk. Thank God you're here, Sim. Ram Media is taking a stand for free speech today, blah, blah, blah. Distribute the program. You're doing your part. But, you know, it's helpful if you do more than just distribute the program because we got so much stuff coming up. Oh, my God, the tenure was amazing. Let me get through the intro. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. Get to the live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on RAN Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Norton Survam Radio, Osprey Network. Jesus Christ, Kennedy, get that fucking cock out of your mouth. This is terrible. Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and of course, don't forget, we're all elite for the beast here at Second Life Node Archers, 1-557-4666. That's right, elite for the beast in Archers. So, of course, big, big win tonight as we record inside of Second Life, as we do every Thursday at 7-ish. We have Samarian, who's here.
Yes.
Virtually.
Yes, we thought you'd start off the year right with me coming back in to Newsreel there.
And boy, are people happy about that. I mean, there's a lot of people who, I get a lot of mail. People, you know, appreciate your objective, albeit wrong, viewpoint. You know, I think that it's,
alternate viewpoint.
Well, you
know,
it's definitely alternative, you know, in the classic in the classic sense of the word. No, of course, Sim and I, you know, we don't see things always eye to eye, so it's good to have, you know, two different stories,
Sean's a couple inches taller than me.
Yeah, but which is true. You know, your avatar is pretty boring. What do you want to look like? Because I promise you, anything you say can happen here.
Brunk, what's wrong with my avatar?
Well, it's pretty dull. I mean, you know, think on it. You know, it might come to you in a dream,
okay.
A vision. You know, that maybe there's an inspiration. My inspiration was the priest from Poltergeist 2, in case anybody wants to. That's my inspiration for this. I've even got the hat. I just took the hat off. I think I put it down somewhere. I haven't been able to find it again in a bit. But that's kind of what, yeah, no, seriously. That was my inspiration for the character.
Oh, very nice.
So let's get into some feedback. That's what I do first. I usually do the feedback. Dear Sean, in patrolling, you advised us to get butane lighters, but gave us no advice into what to look for. I bought a few, and they suck and die quickly. Any advice would be appreciated. Wog of War. Well, Wog of War. It's kind of addressed to me, Sim, so I'm not really going to be able to, you know, unless you have
I wouldn't
any...
even know what to say anyway.
Yeah, you know.
I don't own one, so I can't give advice. It's
right.
Probably up to you.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair, you know, and you got to know when you don't know what the hell you're talking about. But what you do is, with the butane lighters, first of all, there's ones that you'll see that have like a little squiggly wire that go over top of them. Don't get those, okay? You want to get yourself a butane jet lighter, and they look like it's got this weird little star-shaped nut in it with a hole in the middle, and that's what they look like, okay? So if they got the squiggly wire, the answer is no. Go for the one that's a butane jet. Even if the one with the squiggly wire looks cooler, go for the butane jet. That would be my only thing. And Ronson made mine. I got it at, like, Princess Auto, which is like a hardware store. I'd probably look inside of any kind of hardware store, like those ones that do also soldering and stuff like that. You usually use a butane jet. So, yeah, definitely would want to go for the butane jet lighter rather than just the little wire jobbery, you know. Yeah, so that's it. That's all I had for feedback. Let's get into the news. So that way, Sim has something to talk about here. First off, Sim. And the rest of you. I'm so happy he's here. Before we go into the news, let's talk about the tenure. Let's talk about the tenure.
Yes.
We, that was big.
That was a pretty big event, yeah.
Yeah, so give them a rundown. They're always used to me. They want to hear you.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, well, I mean, well, I know, so, what do we do? What happened?
Like, yeah, so a couple days ago on the January 3rd, the exact 10 years later after I flipped the switch and turned on Rant Radio, we had a big gathering down in Vancouver, people from all over the world, Australia, Denmark, Scotland, all over the U.S., all over Canada.
South Carolina.
Everybody came in.
Awesome.
South Carolina. Everywhere. Texas. Everywhere.
L.A.
And they all came in, and we all had a big party. Sean did live after now. That was a huge thing. That was amazing.
Yeah, my legs fell asleep. I sat down on the floor, and I was just going for effect, and I never thought that my legs would fall asleep. So I do this live after now. And do you guys, you can type in the text. You guys want me to give you sort of a quick synopsis so I can bring you up to speed for the next, you know, sort of season? You know, because it's pretty fair. Of course, we're going to be giving it to all the newsreel guys, too. So, no, we can't do that right now. But, yeah, so it was live after now. Live after now. What a tease. We'll talk about it later. But, so we had
then
the
we
live...
Did, then we, then...
Go ahead.
Yep, go ahead.
So we did the live after now. What did we do after that?
And then we showed an hour-long video, retrospective video, you know, all the stuff we did through the years.
And that was awesome.
Put up all the... All the faces for people who didn't even know what they look like from all the people from the What the Hell show. And that was a lot of fun going back through all the old videos.
And Lieutenant Major Zombie was there.
Never seen before. Exactly. In video. He sent a video in, and that was very exciting. Everybody cheered when Lieutenant Major Zombie came on the screen. They were like, oh, my God. Oh, right.
I think everybody was just really happy that he wasn't dead. You know, really.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people were like, wow, that guy's, you know, he took one too many hits on the crack pipe, and he's gone. But that was the highlight. That was seriously one of the highlights of the night for me, was seeing Lieutenant Major Zombie. I shit you not. And Cenobite Babs, Gloom Bunny, is in the house tonight.
Yes.
If I believe
correctly. Oh, yes. She was going to record a video, but she was having some trouble. I wanted to get her on there. But shouldn't get it done in time, but that's okay.
Well, we'll see her at the 20 year, so that'll be fine.
Exactly. In person, right?
Yeah.
Right, Gloom Bunny? Right.
Right, you know. So.
And after that, we did. We brought out all the people from the What the Hell show. Everybody showed up there. It was very cool. Introduced them all. And then we did some Q&A. People in the crowd asking crazy questions. Stuff we had to think way back about. It's like, oh my God, that was 10 years ago.
Good questions,
Very good question. Very dedicated crowd. They knew what they were talking about, let's say that.
Oh, yeah.
And we gave away some awesome prizes, a copy of Bloodstained Rabbit, one of the original ones, a limited edition that I've been hiding away, and a copy of Scabbed Wings of Abaddon, Sean's second book. We gave away a flag, Rant flag, signed by everybody on the What the Hell crew, all the Rant crew. And we also gave away some poster-sized pictures of Sean's new comic book.
That's right. For those of you who are unaware, there is there's a guy named Mark Jensen from Denmark who I hooked up with, and he's really impressed with the After Now. He's really impressed with my stuff. He likes my horror specifically, and he wanted to do a comic sort of as a resume for us to look at to say, hey, you know, you want to take a look at my stuff. So in a very short amount of time, he did The Locksmith. As a comic book, and it's finished. It's done. We have it.
It's out there.
It's completed. It's already online. Yeah. It's already out there. If you do a search for Sean Kennedy's,
if you go in the IRC and ask around, somebody has put it up. I haven't officially put it up, but you can get it. It's the same. It's going to be the same version. So ask around in the Rant IRC, and somebody will link you to it.
You know what's funny is that there's a comic book version of me in my study years later, and I would change in this avatar to get one of the drawing that he did of me like 50 years from now, that outfit and everything that I have on. It's pretty cool. But yeah,
there
it's...
Go. Somebody already linked it. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before you finish your thought, it's here. So yeah, I mean, this was huge. I mean, this was absolutely huge.
Awesome.
And wait until you see it. My God. I mean... I've seen a lot of art that's come offline, but this guy's a professional. He's making, like, this is going to be his career. The guy's going to be huge. Okay, his stuff is fantastic, and I was so
a real artist.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, a pro grade guy. You know, I wouldn't want to downplay, but for a classic medium, it's a black and white comic. I am so fucking thrilled, and he totally gets it. Like, he completely gets it.
Oh yeah. It's on spot.
Oh, yeah. And, like, me and him, we chat almost daily He asks me questions for inspiration and stuff like that. He's really, really great. So the next big plan is we're going to be releasing The Bloodstained Rabbit as a graphic novel. And we're going to do the entire Bloodstained Rabbit as a graphic novel, which should be pretty freaking cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That'll translate really well.
It's going to be fantastic. And the way we're going to do that, in keeping with it, is we're going to have a limited number of the miniseries, which is done by chapter, and then the graphic novel will be, anybody can buy it. But there will be a limited release of individual, because, I mean, it's a very limited thing. I mean, it's a very special book to me and to a lot of people. And I promised people that I wouldn't reprint the book in text form, and I'm not going to do that. You know, maybe if I get a bunch of people together who think it's a good idea down the road, we might throw it in a compilation, but that won't be for a long time to come. And I don't even know if I'm going to do that, to be honest with you, because I got so many other stories. No need.
There's so many other stories.
Yeah, you know, I kind of oppose it, you know, really. I mean, you could download it, you could print it, you could read it. It's not a problem. But, exactly. Well, that's what the whole Dark Atlas thing was there, you know, really, is the whole concept of a series of stories, which is, you know, my world. Right? Mm-hmm. So, which is the Dark Atlas, the dark world of Sean Kay. That was where I was going with the website. But anyway, so that we did that. And the comic is huge. Oh, my God. New season of After Now. I mean, people could have showed up. And I would have just said, yeah, okay, I've got 3 episodes of After Now done. That's it. Go home. And they would have all went, yay.
Get out of theater.
Yeah, they would have loved it. I mean, it was funny, you know. So we'll see where that's going to be at. Oh, the live After Now is already up, yeah. There was a Second Life presence there. There were people there, and people were asking. There was a Q&A session. Somebody asked about Second Life. I met some people from Second Life in real life who were fantastic. I had a really great conversation, actually, Samarian, with a bunch of guys deep in the corner. I mean, you want to talk about like how cyberpunk is this? Okay, because after we do all this, right, and we do the Q&A, everybody breaks, and then we head down to Sanctuary. Right. Somebody posted a link to Sanctuary.
Yes, the goth club, the industrial club.
So here we are in the Sanctuary. So the place was snowing like hell. Okay, it was fucking total blizzard outside. So like, think like, you know, the end of Blade to Russia. You know what I mean? Like totally that kind of snowy situation on the go. And you go inside of a room, and there's like super mega hot goth babes. Like chicks go there to goth the fuck out. And you've got guys who are now, everybody like went home, got changed, so everybody's wearing like tack gear, like open webbing and shit like that. So you've got like tactical dudes and like goth babes. It was fucking awesome. And we're all like, we just took over, man. Like the whole place was ours. And they were playing like.
It was the rant. It was all about rant.
Yeah. And we had like, we were on all the monitors. I mean, we just won. And so that's your setting. Okay. Like, and, if you remember the X-Files episode where they were dealing with vampires and they went into a goth club, that was shot at the Twilight Zone, which is, they used to do Sanctuary there, I believe, back in the
day.
And all the people who were, all the people who were involved with that were the people who created Sanctuary, right?
Nice.
And there's extras who I know from that X-Files episode who I used to party with. You know, so,
nice.
So it was basically the guy who wrote Vampire Vancouver for White Wolf Games. This is his haunt. Okay, like, this is about as gothically hardcore vampire as you can get inside of Western Canada. This is it. You know, that's the place to be. And the guy who's running Sanctuary in Vancouver right now, who is the fucking goth god, like, the guy takes DJing as an art. He looks at it from a totally new perspective. Is DJ?
He sets up all the shows.
All the shows, DJ Pandemonium
in Vancouver.
He's incredible. He's now got a show with us. He wants to come on board with us, which, I mean, my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, he's going to be on Rant Radio Industrial soon.
Yeah, so, I mean, watch for that. Man, you guys have been waiting a long time to get some. To get some good stuff on the go, there's been people subscribing, and because of that, I mean, we're able to. Try to, you know, make another big push. We're still here, you know, 10 years, lots of love.
Exactly.
So, but...
And patrolling Season 1 and Season 2 DVDs via...
I lost you. Sim's gone.
You lost me.
Nope, you're back.
I'm still here. Season one and season two of Patrolling DVDs will be out very soon. A reissue of season one and season two will be out. Dual layer DVDs. They'll be awesome quality.
We can finally make Patrolling the way we wanted to.
Exactly.
You know, we digitally remastered it. Now the explosions are bigger. Every time I go off or I say fuck, that same stupid blue blast ring that surrounds the Death Star when it explodes, like, happens. You know, it's the dumbest thing ever. We changed it. Han shot first. Okay? That's all I want to say. Han fucking shot first. And they fucked it
shot
up.
First.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, I would have shot first. Fuck yeah, I would have nuked the site from orbit. Hell yeah. That's where I come from.
Just
but anyway.
To be sure.
Yeah, all right, so let's enough of this shit. This is great having you on. Okay, good deal. Let's get into Discount Doctor News. Thanks to GhostDog688 for this one. Shoppers at ASDA. Now, this is in England, okay? Shoppers at ASDA store in the West Midlands are now able to get hospital blood tests taken as they shop. What? The West Bromwich supermarket has teamed up with Birmingham City Hospital and a nearby Sandwell Hospital under the NHS plot scheme. The blood tests are taken by qualified phlebotomist, a blood guy, in a location removed from anywhere food is sold. Rob, because that's what I'm worried about. Oh, shit. Get it away from the food.
The food.
Fuck. Rob Ashley, pathology manager at the hospital. The pathology manager? That's just a bad title. It's really good for the patients. It's about convenience. No. The blood samples are taken in-store, sent to the hospital to be analyzed. The thing is that the ASDA guys are the same as Walmart. Like, I believe they're actually the same company. So the technology that you see there... plus, you know, that's private industry, and why in the living fuck would you give a private company your blood? I mean, that's just...
Well, the UK is all about DNA databasing, so this is a perfect opportunity for them to, you know, beef up their database of everybody's DNA in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, DNA in the UK. I'm sure there's a rock song in there somewhere with that.
There you go.
It's just like, you know... but if that one makes you nuts, you ready for this one? This one's one of the jewels of the show right here. I'm going to hit you with the sex right now. 16 minutes into it, you're getting one of these. In aesthetic suicide news, you know, and I spend a lot of time thinking of what the fuck to call these stories because I could just call them all the in what the fuck news, in what the fuck news, you know, like what the fuck news, you know. Seriously, I should do like a lot. We should get into like. I bet you I could get into, like, you know, CBC and find, like, a shitty news desk somewhere, and we'll actually shoot it there. You know, one time we'll just do newsreel,
nice.
Like, video, and I'll just freak
out. Oh, right
out.
From there, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll just do my very own network, you know, rip-off. Anyway, in aesthetic suicide news, okay? Now, let me get through this before I freak out. Okay, in aesthetic suicide news, many British women have started injecting themselves with an untested and unlicensed tanning drug that increases the amount of dark pigment in their skin. Authorities are so concerned about the possible side effects, they had issued warnings about dangers of the drug. With little or no sun to tan in the United Kingdom, women are injecting themselves with a synthetic hormone, melanotan, as an alternative to using solariums or spray tans. You have about 10 injections. You take an injection every day for about, after 10 days, you have a nice tan, said Stacy Bordram, who uses the technique. Then if you want to go darker, you can carry on taking it for 10 more days. Once you've got your initial tan, it just takes 1 week to keep that color and you're happy with it. The drug increases the amount of melanin, the dark pigment in the skin, that makes the body go brown without exposure to the sun. But melanotan is not available in a pharmacy. In fact, the drug is unlicensed in the UK. Clinical trials to test the safety of the drug are not yet completed. The only way to buy it is online, and the UK's medicine regulator is trying to shut down websites that have been selling the unlicensed drug. Claire Tilston of the Medicines and Health Claire Regulatory Agency said there may be dangerous side effects. We don't fucking know because we haven't tested this shit. And it's a synthetic hormone. What could possibly go wrong? Please do not be fooled into thinking that melanotan is a shortcut to a safe or even more even tan. What? She said, we don't know what the side effects may be because it's just that synthetic fucking hormone. I couldn't get through the story. We don't even know what the potential cause. I mean, you know, why even bother going on? So people, for some...
Do not inject yourself with untested drugs, please.
Hormones. Hormones. Let's be fair. It's worse than untested drugs. It's untested fucking hormones, not to make you better, not to, like, you know, so you can pass tests or win a race. It's so you look brown.
Yeah.
I mean, does that even make sense on any level?
That's worth it. That's worth it.
You know,
isn't it? No.
What the fuck, man? You know, this is why I would never make it as a mainstream newsman. You know, mind you, luckily enough, maybe I would, because I'd be so doe-eyed with the news that these guys are reading on the air. I mean, have you seen the news that they're talking about? It's like, oh, those eight guys died in the avalanche. It was horrible, eight guys. They died in an avalanche. It was terrible. That's big
news
up here.
Never mind that. Tens of thousands of people are injecting themselves with untested hormones.
Yeah, like, it's insane, you know? Do you know how many, like, hey, it's the Africa special. Every Thursday, we're going to talk about how unbelievably, mind-numbingly fucked Africa is. Okay? And we're going to bring it to new levels of horror every goddamn week, you know? I mean, shit, we could just, or we're not even talking about Israel and Gaza and that whole shithole. I mean, well, what the hell, you know? I'll go there. What the fuck? Where do you stand on this thing, man?
Me?
Yeah. He's like, you're going to get me to talk about this?
Terribly uneducated about that. But, yeah, two groups of people shelling each other for a strip of land. Mostly religious-based. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a whole lot of religious craziness going on over there. You know, personally...
But, you know, if it wasn't religious-based, they'd be shelling each other for whatever, the land, the power, the right to say we live here, whatever.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, glass the whole thing. It's definitely a lot of religion there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, and it's very localized. You know, like, if I'm just saying... You know, if you let everybody know that we've decided that God's not coming back to the planet, and if he is, the whole place should be slag. You know, and you tell them all that we're going to drop a major nuclear device in this section of the world. Okay, this desert
is
going
what?
To be... Oh, they'd be
packed. You know
what?
People would actually go there on purpose, and knowing that that would happen, and then they would know it's the rapture, and they'd be
happy
about it.
It's the self-solving problem.
It's
self-solving. It's one small sun, and it's going to be happy days are here again. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, they want to go there. We'll get the, you know, what do we got there? We got the Muslims. We got the Jews.
Break out the champagne. Divide it into, like,
crazies?
Three or four parts.
Well, the Christians are there, too. Can't forget them. I mean, they got the whole birthplace
Christians,
of Christ thing there.
The Jews.
I mean, the Christians, the Jews, the Muslims. That's basically the big
the
three.
Muslims.
I mean, it's
Those
crazy.
Are the big three, and...
Well,
they could all join hands and see who wins out, right?
That's right. That's right. And when you look at it, I mean, of course, we still got some problems with the Hindus, right? Because they got a pantheon of gods. And they're getting pretty excited over there in India right now. I guess the Hindus are getting pretty excited. And then what's the other ones? I guess in Japan, there's probably some crazies over there, too. And realistically, the seat of Christian power is probably the Vatican. I mean, the Vatican would be all about that. So you couldn't do that unless you nuked the Vatican as well. which is, you know, there's a lot of really nice art there, and they've got, you know, history held
there
hostage
is.
In their basement, so we really can't nuke them. And plus, you know, I mean...
You have to get all that stuff out first, right?
Yeah, you know, so I guess, I don't know. So versus the nuking, I think my drug solution is actually a much better idea, where we carpet bomb fog the entire Middle East with ecstasy and weed. So they forget what they're fighting about, and it's a huge orgy. You know what I mean? It's like totally...
Get everybody in a nice, even high, all, you know, having fun.
Just sexual frenzy throughout the Middle East. And you keep that up. Like, you just saturate these fuckers with, you know, like, we use the Heart Project and broadcast, like, Goa Psytrance down into the Middle East. So it makes this massive Middle Eastern rave. And we keep that up for about 3 months, 90 days. And we're dropping
that should be enough, yeah.
So we drop in supply runs of frozen concentrated juice and water and stuff like this so that, you know, everybody is they have such a massive, enduring, crazy sex fest orgy that they cannot possibly hate each other anymore. Right? So no more guns. And while all these guys are high, we'll sneak in there and get all the guns out. So if they're going to kill each other, they got to do it with sharp rocks or something. And when we just, you know, occasionally we just bomb them with artillery weed. If they start getting excited again, or if they're just bored, or if they're hungry, or whatever, we just drug the shit out of all of those people because
smoke bombs, fogs of weed.
Yeah, fogs of weed, fog and smoke bombs. You know, I mean, it was, you know, that would be the way to go. You know, because it's either that or we nuke them. So people
instead
say,
instead of Agent Orange, it's Agent Green.
Yeah, you know, and I can go either way. You know, realistically, I think that nukes as a rule are bad. So, you know, it's a weapon of last resort. So, okay, I don't want to use chemical weapons. Like, that's not even an issue for me. Like, I wouldn't even want to think about using chemical weapons. So, I just think we should, you know, weed bomb.
I mean, the time is up. They've had 2,000 years to sort it out. And, you know, it's time.
They need help. They need help. You know, and get them stoned. That's what I say. Yeah, let's stone them the fuck out. Seriously. And just, you know, stop with all the hate. You know, let's just get on with it, you know. Mind you know, it's fun to say glass the Middle East and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, I just recently downloaded a whole bunch of photos shot on the ground in Hiroshima and Nagasaki by the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, like the day after. They're black and white photos where they were going around in the city just taking pictures. And,
that's so
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking unbelievably horrific, actually. They're the closest thing to hell that I've ever seen. They're pretty...
Yeah, you know that shadow thing? The shadow, the famous shadow? Yeah,
oh,
I saw that live. Like, it was in front of me, 2 feet in front of me.
Oh,
not
you,
so cool.
Oh, you saw that?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I went to ground zero.
Wow. That must have been a trip. Yeah. I mean, worth doing, I guess, eh? Definitely something you'd like to check out.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Okay, well, let me get the... Let's get on to the next story here. In Big British Brother news, thanks very much to the Renegade Rabbit, the Home Office has quietly adopted a new plan to allow police across Britain to routinely hack into people's personal computers without a warrant, so they can just basically take your shit. The move, which follows a decision by the European Union's Council of Ministers in Brussels, has angered civil liberties groups and opposition MPs. They describe it as a sinister extension of the surveillance state, which drives the coach and horses through privacy laws. The hacking is known as remote searching. It allows police or MI5 officers, who may be hundreds of miles away, to examine covertly the hard drive of someone's PC at his home or office or hotel room. Under the Brussels edict, police across the EU have been given the green light. This is across the entire European Union. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not just Britain, guys. No. Under the police across the entire European Union have been given the green light to expand the implementation of a rarely used power involving warrantless intrusive surveillance of private property. The strategy will allow French, German, and other European Union forces to ask British officers to hack into someone's UK computer and pass over any material gleaned. So this isn't even like British. This is subjects. This is going to like the gnomes of Zurich or something, you know? Like, this is seriously Alex Jones territory right here. However, opposition MPs and civil liberties groups say the broadening of such intrusive surveillance powers should be regulated by a new act of parliament and a court warrant. They point out that in contrast to the legal safeguards for searching a suspect's home, police undertaking a remote search do not need to apply to a magistrate's court for a warrant. Shami Chakbarti, director of Liberty and Human Rights Group, said he would challenge the legal basis of the move. These are very intrusive powers, as intrusive as someone busting down your door and coming into your home, which I would agree with. You know, really, I mean, you are your data, really. I mean, if you wipe out your memory, your personality's gone. So if they come in and they look at your computers and stuff, I mean, this is...
They're going to find something to bust you on. They come in your house, they come into your computer. It's like, search first and prosecute later.
Yeah, and realistically, they're just whim laws, right? This is the idea that we're going to find something, you know, we're going to take you down. I guarantee if you bring up anybody's computer, you're going to find some shit on there where you can use it to pin themselves, you know.
Small or big, they can find something.
Oh, for sure. And if not, hey, we found child porn! No one's going to believe you. You know, if you got framed for child porn, no one would fucking believe you. You're done. You're done. You're not even safe in prison. Like, you'll get fucking murdered in prison. If they put that out there on the wire and lie, you're fucked.
Even if they don't happen to prosecute you, you get your name in the paper, you're done anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're found not guilty, it's like you're associated with that forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're fucked. You are fucked proper. Like, there's no way out, you know. So it's pretty severe. But wait. Not only, I have Big British Brother, which would be Big European Union Brother, but let's talk about Big Chinese Brother, which you're thinking, well, you know, it's China. You know, like, what's surprising out of China? I could read a story now coming out of China where they're just walking around cutting people's heads off for shits and giggles, and everybody would be like, yeah, man, that's China. You know, that's how shit goes in
Pretty
China.
Pretty much, yeah.
No one's going to say shit to China. They've got, you know, death camps, killing Tibetans, like it's motherfucking going out of style.
And all the money.
Yeah, what?
And all the money.
Yeah. So pretty much, I mean, no one's going to fuck with China. But anyway, the Chinese authorities have launched a fresh campaign to get rid of unhealthy, vulgar, and pornographic content on the internet. Period, full stop. This will be the model of the New World Order right here. The authorities have also published the names of 19 websites that have failed to heed the request to get rid of unsuitable material. Heretic! These include Google and China's top search engine, Baidu. These websites could be closed down if they do not delete the offending material, according to one official. China believes it has a duty to protect public morality. Officials seem to be particularly concerned about pretty girls in suggestive poses that can be accessed through various websites. They fear this and other unhealthy content could damage young people's physical and mental health. Not only your mental health, but your physical health. You know, you're going to watch Two Girls, One Cup and blow your own fucking head off. The new campaign is being coordinated by a total of 7 government ministries. 7 ministries. They have published the names of 19 offending websites that have so far ignored warnings to get rid of unsuitable content. These websites are being told to clean up their websites or else. You know,
clean it up.
You know, what we need is like the Chinese to send assassins over here to get, and they'll slaughter like the heads of like, say, Google or something, right? And then we'll get Blackwater providing security for corporations against like government morality. And then our transition to the cyberpunk world would be complete, you know, pretty much. Then you've got the street samurais and it's all over but the crying. Officials also want the public to act as their eyes and ears in this campaign against sleaze. But there is a fear that Crackdown will not just be restricted to vulgar material. Man, you know, I'm big in China. The Chinese government keeps a firm grip on the internet, blocking certain websites and censoring some sensitive material. This campaign could be used as an excuse to stifle political dissent in a country that allows little political criticism. In, you know, Captain Obvious holy shit news. In one of the websites...
Really?
In one of the websites that has been publicly criticized, Tiana is popular with people who post their criticisms of the government. So, consequently, they post the, you know, criticisms of the government, and now that's going to just make it go down. You know, it's insane. It's totally fucking insane. But, wait, you know, we got some corporate junkie news. Now, this is another good cyberpunk story talking about how popping smart pills, the case for cognitive enhancement. A 40-year-old high-level e-commerce executive in the Pacific Northwest, we'll call him Bob, felt he was losing his edge, and although his colleagues saw him as a star, he feared he wouldn't be able to continue the lightning pace and constant multitasking of his job required. So, he saw his doctor. Now Bob takes Adderall, a prescription methamphetamine ordinarily used to treat attention deficit disorder. It gives me the clarity and thinking and focus. Hi, I'd like some clarity. Do you have clarity? Says Bob. He credits the drug for improving both his career and his personal relationships. I am still getting accolades, and I'm a junkie, he says. I was initially wary about taking my substance and so-called black box warning, he says. But after 9 months of using Adderall under close supervision by my doctor, he has not developed an addiction. Or anal seepage. Anal seepage. Requiring a dose increase or had any other adverse effects. This Adderall's fantastic. And the there's also dudes using Adderall, Ritalin, Modafinil, which is also known as Provigil, prescription drugs. And there's like college kids are taking it. This is the new drug push. is the smart drugs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sooner or later, it's going to be like in a job interview. Well, are you willing to take drugs to help help your career, further your career?
Oh, no. I'm even worried about before then, brother. Let's be real. You know, what is the edge game? What is the thing that, you know, what is the ticket you can get that will guarantee you fucking big money for the rest of your life? It's your grades. Right, you go to these.
That's right.
Big
That's
name,
the first step, right?
You get to these big name fucking schools. You come out of MIT with honors. I don't give a fuck if you're naked. I don't care if you don't even wear pants. You're gonna get a job for millions of dollars. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, people aren't gonna stop there. They're just gonna keep going and going into their job. Like, I mean, they want to move up the executive ladder, and that's the only way you can do it is take the drugs.
Well, they won't last. I mean, they won't last. I mean,
they'll burn out. Like the people in the board game, the juicers, right?
Oh yeah, juicers. And and the reason why is because it's just like Blade Runner, man. The star that burns twice as bright burns half as long. You've only got so much genetic material. All this shit is running your brain on nitrous. Yeah, you're getting great power, you know, but you got to think of those drag racing motors, man. They live for about 16 seconds or like a 9 second quarter mile, and they have to replace the whole fucking engine. This is your head, man. Like, you have to keep this thing your whole fucking life, where body armor rules apply, you know?
Exactly, so, but who's going to tell them to stop?
Me?
Is the boss going to tell them to stop? No, they're performing high, only Sean, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the government is going to tell them to stop. They're going to die before they get old, and they don't have to pay out the Social Security to them.
Pension?
Everybody's agreeing with them, except for Sean.
Use and lose. Use and lose. That's what it is, man. If you use these drugs, you're going to wind up losing out in the long run, and use and lose is the new motto of the companies. They're going to bring these guys in. And when you fall off and you're losing your game, everybody wants your fucking job because they're all in a total knife mode because there's no cohesion. So when you fall off and take a shit, everyone will laugh and like piss on your corpse as they try to get your pay grade, right? And meanwhile, those, you know, our masters over top are just going to sit back and laugh because we're so fucking stupid, chasing shit we can't afford to impress people we don't even fucking like, okay, because we're all watching the God Box and fucking rotting our brains. That is the game, and I don't understand.
They have to bring back the old saying, say no to drugs, but it's a new type of drugs now.
Well, yeah, no, still say no to drugs. I'm okay with herbs, okay, but I say no to drugs, you know? Nutrients, what your diet is so fucking important. That's one thing, even though you and I have different dietary preferences, your diet is where it's at. Everything begins and ends with the, food that you put in your body. And if you just get diet and exercise, you can avoid the use of all these, you know, you can avoid the anal seepage scare. But moving right along here. In space news, all these are going to be linked off the Live Journal. Go check it out. It'd be very cool. In space news, can life naturally transfer from planet to planet? With a groundbreaking experiment on board a sample return mission to the Martian moon Phobos, the Planetary Society is trying to find out. In an ambitious new initiative, the Society will send a collection of living organisms on a 3-year trip to the Martian moon Phobos. A 3-year trip. Anyway, and then back to Earth. The experiment, called LIFE, Living Interplanetary Flight Experiment, will help scientists better understand the nature of life, its robustness, and its ability or not to move between planets. Now, here's what's going to happen. They're going to send these organisms out, right? And it's going to, like, fly out there in the ship, and then they're going to lose track of it. And then the organisms are going to come back from Mars, but it's going to be flying on a totally different trajectory, right? Like, it's not where it's supposed to be. So they'll send out another probe, and then the ship will, like, attack the probe and, like, build onto itself and start turning itself into a big robot. And then it'll just start flying around in space, collecting other satellites, adding it to itself until it becomes Super Tech Meba and Super Tech Meba.
I think there's a high probability of that, yes.
I would say. I mean, I watch a lot of movies, and that's shit that happens. You know what I mean?
That's usually what happens. It's true. It's very true.
Tech Meba, man. Tech Meba, you know, and it'll touch down in Japan, and you'll have Tech Meba kicking ass. You know, the single-celled techno-organism. Only Server would be able to fight Tech Meba, I think. Yes. I'll have to put this in the after now, I'm sure. Watch me scare the shit out of everybody. Tech Meba. I just made that up now. I like it. But on that note, which is the best segue ever to this story, in UFO news, Tech Meba has been sighted. UFO enthusiasts are claiming damage. Now, this is a weird fucking story, okay? There's a video when you go to this thing. And what it is a wind farm, okay, where they have a bunch of these, like, you know, massive wind turbines set up, right? But there was this glowing orb that a lot of people saw hit one of the turbines, okay, and tore off one of the vanes of those wind turbines, okay? Those things are huge, all right?
Big, huge.
Yeah, but that's just it. There's no crashed aircraft. There's nothing. It's like this super big mystery. UFO enthusiasts are claiming damage to a Lincolnshire wind farm turbine may be caused by a mystery aircraft. A turbine at Conisholm lost one of its 66 feet long blades, and another blade was badly damaged in the early hours of Sunday. County councillor of the area, Robert Palmer, said he'd seen a round white light that seemed to be hovering. Eco Citri, who owns the site, said while investigations continue, they're not ruling anything out, but the extent of the damage was unique. The turbine is one of 20 at Cornisholm site, which has been fully operational since April of 2008. A broken blade has been recovered and is being examined. Local ufologists have said they've received many reports of such activity in the area and have had teams searching for clues. Then we got Mr. Palmer. I actually saw a white light, a round white light that seemed to be hovering. That's the only way I can explain it. It wasn't a flare-like light. It was just round, white, with a single slight red edge that seemed to be over the wind turbines. Okay, well, you know, you're visual. You're looking at a light. Maybe you think you see some red there. Dale Vince, founder of EcoCitry, said the company was keeping an open mind about the incident. Now, well, laugh what you want. Something
definitely
hit the fucking
it's
turbine.
Weather balloons or swamp gas. You know, it's one of those two.
Yeah, but seriously.
It falls into one of those categories, really.
Or terrorism. Yeah, it's terrorism.
Yep, terrorism.
But seriously, what the fuck? You know? Like, what did that? There's no crash plane.
They found no scraps. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. They said the blade's being examined. They don't know what it is. Well, I mean, the turbine is 60 feet. So the one blade is 66 feet long. Okay? That's fucking huge. Okay?
Well, either it sustained the damage and flew off, or somebody came in and cleaned it up really quick.
No, you wouldn't be able to clean up something like that. Like, what would you... Okay, let's go with that theory. Chopper? Plane. Those are our two options. It would be a glider, ultralight, or paraglider. Okay? Or a parachutist. I mean, these are... And a parachutist wouldn't be able to rip off a 66-foot vane. So we're talking about a sizable object here. It would have to be an aircraft of some type. Okay? Or maybe a UAV. You know,
and he said it was hovering, so it's not a plane unless it's, you know, a jet plane that can hover.
Now, the other side of it, too, is it rules out all the UAVs because UAVs aren't heavy enough to tear off a 66-foot-long vane. The size and mass...
You'd hear a helicopter, wouldn't you?
Oh, fuck yeah. Not only that, but a chopper wouldn't tear off. A chopper might, but there'd be no way that you could clean up that mess. And it would do more than just rip off one vane. The guy was saying it would have to hit something with the same size and mass as a cow. That's the minimum it could be. So it's like... Now that, to me, that story... Okay, this happened. Okay, this is a real thing. This occurred. Okay?
There is damage to this... There's
fucking photos of it. They got video of it. Okay, they got video of one of the fucking lights. Okay?
Yeah.
But no one's going to talk about this. And it's like, oh, isn't that fucking weird? No, I don't care about what Britney Spears is doing. I'm really concerned about, you know, the alien spaceship over here. You know, don't make me look at the fucking birdie. Are you kidding? You know, give me a break. This is insane, you know. But anyway, you know, I have more news to bequeath, but isn't that just fucked? You know, like, I don't know. You're not against aliens, are you? I mean, you don't believe that aliens... are bad. You believe in aliens, don't you?
They could be bad. They could be good. It's highly improbable that they could travel here.
But you're open to the idea of aliens.
I can't rule them out. I can't rule them out, no. Okay. We're aliens to another planet. We exist.
Yeah, okay. So, no, I just want to know how deep your psychosis goes. But you know, at least we're on the same page there, you know. But,
yeah, I'm in the realm of realism. I mean,
sure. Yeah, you know. Sure.
I mean, sure, ghosts could exist, but it's most likely EMF things, and
it's a science we don't understand.
Playing with people's brains.
There's something going on there.
We just don't understand.
There's something going on there we don't understand. So we gotta nail that down, and I'm okay with that. We can meet some common ground. I've got some theories. You got some theories. They're just theories. Yeah. We don't know. But anyway, here's something else. Now here's another fucking theory about quantum mechanics. Now this is how U.S. scientists have found a way to levitate the very smallest objects using the forces of quantum mechanics. which they say might use it to help make tiny nanotechnology machines. Now, this is one of those vaporware concept papers. They said they detected and measured the force that comes into play at the molecular level using certain combinations of molecules that repel one another. The repulsion can be used to hold molecules aloft, in essence, levitating them, creating a virtually friction-free parts for tiny devices, the researcher said, on the molecular level. Now, I'm starting to get people, you know, I want to get stories where quantum science is actually doing something, because the whole thing looks like a big crock of shit to me. You know, seriously, I haven't seen a single piece of tech come out of this whole quantum physics field that I think is worth a damn. There's some neat experiments and some stuff like that. I think it's worth further merit, but I haven't seen anything come out of quantum physics yet that really, you know, tripped me out. And there's people who are like, well,
it
explains...
They're all very, very tiny little things, right? They're all tiny, tiny things.
Well, yeah, and I'm okay with that, but even some of that stuff there that I'm looking at, the tiny, tiny little things, is all, like, theoretical shit going on at the subatomic level. Like, dude, let's make something happen. All right.
Maybe they'll be using it for, you know, healing your body, be able to inject you with these tiny, tiny little things.
Well, this thing here is cool. This thing here is cool. They're making little shit levitate. You know what? I'm okay with that. All right. All right. Fair ball. You know, but I've been promised a flying car for a few years now. And if we don't get the flying car, that's fine. But, you know, I mean, I'm getting a little bit skeptical. Yeah, I understand you guys need your justification for more funding from the government, but I want a flying car. You know, that's the fucking deal. You guys haven't delivered the flying fucking cars. Where are the flying cars? Anyway, in Upload the Dead News, here is the most fucked up story of the night. Last year, the Department of Defense and the Armed Forces Institute of Regenerative Medicine, they unveiled this project to reconstruct new skin muscles and tendons, and even ears and noses and fingers. Now, I covered this story. It's where they're talking about lizard-like abilities to regrow limbs and shit like that. That will be, with that, generations of parental wisdom went out the window. I'd just be telling my 5-year-old daughter she'd take care of adult teeth because they're the last real teeth she'd ever have. But now, that's not true anymore. Our kids will be able to get new teeth, fingers, and toes. Soon, they'll be able to see ghosts, too. For ages, we've been telling children that ghosts aren't real, but the Department of Defense has put together a quest for proposals to create what are, in effect, virtual ghosts, another truism of parenting which is about to become untrue. The announcement from the Defense Centers of Excellence for the Physiological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury requests a highly interactive PC or web-based application to allow family members to verbally interact with virtual renditions of deployed service members, end quote. The application must produce compelling interactive dialogue between a service member and their families using video footage or high-resolution 3D rendering. The child should be able to have a simulated conversation with a parent about generic, everyday topics. For instance, the child may get a response saying, I love you, or I miss you. Good night, Mommy. Good night, Daddy. The critics are calling the proposal creepy and dystopian. No fucking shit. When they're calling it creepy and dystopian in the fucking news story, man, are you shitting me? Come on.
Well, they could just take away all the children from their parents, and then they can all have virtua parents. And then
the point
and teach them in a school somewhere else run by the government, and you can log on every day and have your virtual parents.
Oh, wait, no. They point out that no avatar can be a substitute for a parent. They think the DOT should focus instead on real-time video computer connection between deployed personnel and their kids. But what the DOT is requesting will become real because it's possible and because the agency has correctly identified a human need. Kids want to see, hear, and talk to their parents. They need reassurance, and what they need to hear, I love you, sleep tight, be good for mommy, is routine. It's easy to script these lines, and if you're the parent, you can visually record them. You just need software to convert your recordings into 3D video, or better yet, an interactive hologram.
Or you could even get them saying, war is good, and drink Pepsi.
Well, I mean, you know, once we've got your rendered parents, it's like, if you see mommy do something bad, make sure you tell the government. You know, like, this is one of those news stories that, you know, you don't really need to dress up. You know, it's just...
No, it's there for you.
Boom.
It's ready to go.
You know, it's almost too fucking easy. Like, the story itself calls itself creepy and dystopian. Critics are saying that this is fucking insane. You know, but whatever. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. And, like, wow, I fear for the shattered children of the coming generation. I really do. And, you know, and on one level, we were talking about this before, Sim. It's so great that we've been able to do Rant Media for 10 years because we've saved a lot of lives. We have saved.
Oh, yeah.
We've saved a lot of lives, man. There's a lot of people. I mean, I had guys.
We've saved them from this alternate reality that they get sucked into.
No, yeah. We're at least real, you know, and you get more.
Yeah, we're not virtual reality caricatures inside a world where everybody's sitting in the crowd watching us.
Yeah, well, no, the thing is that's the difference. We're real people piloting in a virtual reality world versus virtual reality people who are trying to live in the real world. And they try so hard to be these fake avatars they see on television. They try so hard to, become this fake ideal. All of our role models don't even fucking exist. They're not real.
Oh yeah, they're all scripted and they're all molded and
I mean, why not? You know, why not have the children? So that brings us to our closing story, which I always like to have a little bit of cyberpunk kit. Which is some Buzznucks. Buzznucks are made popular by Shiro Matsumune. It's his name for basically brass knuckles that are tasers. And now you can buy them. They're $50. They're pretty cool. World's best attention getter. Would-be assailants are going to pull a U-turn when they see you pull out these blast knuckles. No shit. That's what they're called. Blast knuckles. Aiming is just as easy as punching. A one tap delivers a massive 950,000 volt payload. A unique patented design is comfortable, easy to hold, easy to grip, and fits almost any hand. Your self-defense budget just got a bump, and these shockers are here for less. Soft, high-traction rubber coating and no-slip grip from full contact. User separated trigger and safety switches to prevent accidental discharge. Includes in a holster is a holster and two lithium batteries. It lasts for it's 5 inches high and weighs only 4 ounces. Hey, new blast knuckles, just here to help you put a stank on it. Now, as well,
set them to stun and have fun with your friends.
That's right. Fuck you, bang. I mean, I kind of like them though, you know. And pointed out, I mean, I think you're okay to bring out the blast knuckles so long as before you do anything, you pull it out and you give out a big, like, rocket balls, wham, you know, and just drift the fucker, and then it's
so are
on.
These you need contact for, or are they projectiles?
No, that you it's a set of brass knuckles that a guy's built a taser into. Okay. Yeah, are you getting the point now? So if you punch some dude and you give him, like, boom! Yeah, seriously, Hadouken! Wham! You know, and he catches Ride the Lightning, fuckstick. You know, like, you just got a midget who uppercutted your entire universe. You know, I mean, that's that is, now we go. And if the batteries run out, who gives a shit? You just beat Buddy to death with it.
Still got some brass knuckles.
Yeah, well, like, wow. You know, that's just it. You bring that to the club, you know. Yeah, you know. Mind you, when you put it that way, it's kind of tempting. On to the daily hacks. Today, we have a stealth search engine. This was sent in by a listener. This is very cool. Hey, Sean, check this out. It's called ixquick.com, a search engine that destroys all records of any search performed after 48 hours. It's based out of the Netherlands, and the record destruction is confirmed by a third-party auditor. Thought you might find that useful from Moog. Thank you very much, Moog. Yeah, that's very, very cool. And as well, this is super awesome. Welcome to the After Now, brought to you by Fat Ninja. Do it yourself, Mr. Fusion. Convert your Honda Accord to run on trash. I could do this, Sim, because we got that Civic. And why not film it, show people how to do it, Sean Kennedy style, and put it in Patrolling Season 3. Hey, guys, run your cars on how to make a waste gas accelerator. We may not have a flux capacitor for time travel, but we do already have the equivalent of Mr. Fusion, which, if cleverly applied, will enable your car to run on everyday trash. Today, this magical device is called a gasifier, but what it does is called gasification. Gasification is the use of heat to transform solid biomass or other carbon solids into a synthetic, natural gas-like flammable fuel. Through gasification, we convert nearly any solid, dry, organic matter into clean-burning, carbon-neutral gaseous fuel. With the starting with wood chips or walnut shells, the construction debris, or agricultural waste, the end product is a flexible gaseous fuel you can burn in your internal combustion engine, cooking stove, furnace, or flamethrower. Or in this case, your DeLorean. Well, how about a Honda Accord? Sound impossible? Did you know that over 1 million vehicles in Europe ran on onboard gasifiers during World War II to make fuel from wood and charcoal, as gasoline and diesel were rationed and otherwise unavailable? Long before there was biodiesel and ethanol, we actually succeeded in large-scale alternative fuels redeployment. And one of the curiously used, only cellulosic biomass, not the oil and sugar-based biofuel sources, which are famously compete with food. The redeployment was possible by the gasification and waste of biomass using simple gasifiers, about as complex as a traditional wood stove. This is World War II tech, guys. World War II tech.
Wow.
These small-scale gasifiers are easily reproducible and improved, and today by do-it-yourself enthusiasts using a simple hammer and wrench technology. The goal of the project is to show you how to do it, and we have the complete instructables right there. Link up. Good to go. As well, we got some Recomedia for you, which is just in case, you know, you want to know why we're doing what we're doing. We have the Trend Index 2008 year-end summary. Thanks very much to YOD for sending us that new advertainment, where you can see exactly what horrible, shitty shows people are really watching, all the reality TV shows, what drug companies are spending the most in advertising. Some interesting statistics there for y'all to look at. I highly advise it. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please subscribe. Please subscribe. Don't give me a big chunk of money. If you think the show is worth, you know, $5 a month, if you know, $1.25 a show is you're getting your money's worth out of the entertainment for it, please do subscribe. It makes a huge difference, and you're not going to believe the kind of quality product you guys are going to be getting in the coming years. It's a very, very exciting time. It actually looks like we might be able to pull this shit off and do some of the crazy stuff that we're talking about. It's really, really exciting. And as well, realistically, you should be saving your money. I mean, unless you're getting the kind of value you get from this show, from other things, don't spend your money on it. Think about it. You could go buy yourself some crazy coffee for like $10. Okay, that's 2 months of newsreel. So you can either have the cup of coffee or 2 months of newsreel. And you should be applying that. They're talking about this recession like it's the end of the fucking world. If you saved up your money, it'd be Thursday. Okay? Seriously, stop spending your money. Start spending your money wisely on things that last longer. Function over form. Always. But if you want to subscribe, you just you can go to a number of places. You can go to the Dark Atlas website, do it there. Go to my live journal. It's on the left-hand side, right next to an RSS feed for a subscription URL for iTunes, which somebody put up for me, which is on my live journal now. And or you can send an envelope or through snail mail and secret tapes and stuff to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And, of course, I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And I'm going to fade out now with a track from my personal collection, which I have not yet picked out, but I guarantee will be cool. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. Sim, have you got anything else?
Yeah, if you want to get on the newsletter list for Rant.
Oh, what is that? Let's talk about that for real quick. What is the...
Yep.
Is this the newsletter? And let's talk a little bit about Pain Magazine, too, because those guys are...
Oh, yes.
I mean, Pain Magazine, we're just going to... Before we wrap the show up, I wanted to say that we didn't really talk a lot about Pain at the 10-year, but the guys at Pain Magazine, I mean, they are the Mondo 2000 of today. They are probably the most cyberpunk zine in existence right now. They're totally raw. They're firing from the hip. They're calling it as they see it, and they're really solid guys. If you're not getting
the new Pain Magazine, we actually made a printed copy, the first ever printed copy of Pain Magazine. It was given out at the 10th anniversary. It was super cool. Everybody loved it.
Yeah, that's going to be like, if anybody got one of those, that's the secret item that's going to be worth big bucks. Huge bucks. How many of those were made?
100.
That's it.
So that was it.
There's 100 physical copies, and they're all gone, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your secret stash, but beyond that, they're gone. You know what I mean? Like an eBay item, okay? Because that's the first, it's pretty hot.
First print copy.
Yeah, first print copy. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's definitely pretty cool. And Pain Magazine is going to be one of these things that... I've got a lot of feelings for the future, man. Like, we've got enough people now who know what's going on. Everybody who's here inside of Second Life right now, because they're here in Second Life and they're listening to the show, that's a pretty high barrier to entry. Because you got to know how to do all this stuff, and you have to be let in. And we've got enough people that are here now that I don't think this fire is ever going to die. I really don't. And I think now it's just a matter of syncing up the mesh so that, you know, we can really start to fan the flames before they know it.
Yeah, I think that is the key, just syncing up, getting people in the right positions, and just go.
The firewalls will not be able to stop us in meat space, okay? Seriously, it's going to be we're going to be able to reach out through the web and touch so many people. It's going to be amazing when suddenly we all get discovered again, you know, because eventually the machine's going to discover us all again. And the guys from Wired will be like, whatever, man. These guys were talking about taking over the world like fucking 10 years ago. Where have you been? You know, so good time. Super glad. Are you going to be here next week, Sam, or you're not sure?
Oh, you bet. I'm going to be here with you, Sean.
Nice.
As long as you can stand me.
Nice. So it looks like a whole new year and a whole new start. You got anything else, buddy?
Yeah. If people want to get on the newsletter for Rant so they know what's coming up, what's coming out from us, email me, info@rantradio.com. I'll get you set up.
And you want to get on that newsletter because, let me tell you, info@rantradio.com, and make sure
excellent stuff coming up, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be – there's going to be some heavy shit. We're going to start doing a lot more physical things as well. We're going to start doing we'd like to get a little bit more going on with meets and stuff, so if people want to meet us, they can. The 10-year was just the beginning, absolutely. So is that it from you?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.